And so I just want to remind all of us tonight how important it is that you invest the time that you have during your week wisely and allow God an opportunity to encourage you, that when you face present difficulty, that you're able to face it in a manner that you wouldn't have before. I was reading in the Word of God about Jonah and how God had appointed him to go and deliver a word and to do a work that in his heart he felt like that he was not able to do. And running from that work caused him more grief than it would have been just to go and do it in the beginning. And I can't imagine what it felt like to be in the depths of the sea, in the belly of a whale, in the midst of the worst possible discouragement that you could possibly be in. But I can imagine that there had to be a moment in time when he realized the shortcoming of what he had done. And that when he came to himself, he realized, if all that I do is just go and do what you have appointed me to do, I know that I will be in your favor. Now, hallelujah, I'm going to be real plain with you tonight. It may be a jump, it may be a shout, it may not be that glamorous, and it may not be something that people appreciate that you do, but you've got to pour out something that God has called you to do in times when it is difficult for you to do it. It seems hard sometimes when we have to press, and it seems like, well, Lord, where are we? Are we missing it? God, have we not done enough? Have we not praised you enough? Where is it that we must begin? And you just have to consider in your own heart the things that God is doing before we're ever able to offer something that's of worth to somebody else. And God is dealing with me, you know, each and every day about what more can I do so somebody can have some life and be blessed. And I want you to know that even when it's difficult and when it's tough, that God brings a word out of my mouth so that somebody can get a hold of it and be blessed. God raises up singers so that when they sing, even though it may not look as though it's hidden anywhere, that it would present you the hope and an opportunity to realize, to know, to understand what it is that you can give. So wonderful, so amazing, so far beyond our wildest dreams. Hallelujah. His blessings are without compare. Oh, they exceed expectations. They go beyond what we ever imagined would be. If nobody else in this room can praise God for the goodness of his blessings, I'm just going to have to take an opportunity for my house and for my sake to have to be thankful. I don't know about you, but I've got to press on. I got too much ahead of me not to be prepared for what's ahead. It may be difficult down the road for you, and it's time that we realize that what we give is not only for your benefit, but it's for somebody else. Could you stand tonight and let somebody else know that God is real in your life? Could you rise up and give God praise to encourage your brothers and sisters? Can we do that before we dismiss tonight? Can we just dwell in the anointing? Are we not able to be thankful for the blessings of God? Are we not able to get past ourselves and let him be worshipped and magnified? I tell you this much, in times when we neglect our worship, in times when we neglect God's presence, we'll find ourselves weaker than we were intended to be. You will not be prepared for what's ahead of you, and you might find yourself in the belly of a well wondering what it is that I've got to do to get out of this mess. There's only one thing you got to do, and that's just to follow God's will.
I'm going to pour my heart out and hear if the devil throws everything that he's got at me. I'm here to bless the Lord, and I'm here to be determined to press on past our press, press on past how tired we are, how sick that we feel. God is far beyond that, and I've got needs. I've got people that I'm sowing seed in, and I'm expecting great things out of it. But we've got to know that it's through the obedience of what you give when it's difficult. Now, when you're proven that you step into a greater anointing, oh, I praise you, Lord. It's not in so much the trial that you're in, but it's in the way that you're going to react in the trial. Consider Paul and Silas with me as I close this song with you. It wasn't how that they were in there and suffering, but it was in the way they reacted. It wasn't the chains that made it a dramatic event. It was in spite of chains that they were still able to
It is better to go and do the work than to run from the work you're called to do. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I want you to know that you're going to have to lead by example if you're ever going to have anybody follow. How can I ever expect anybody to have the joy of the Lord in praise if I can't get up and give God the joy of the Lord praise? How can I ever get up and minister unless I'm ready to receive what a minister would pour out? How can I ever agree with the Word of God unless I turn the pages and understand what it means to know His Word engrafted in our spirit? How are we ever going to come together and preach coming together unless we rise up and do it? Oh, everybody says, I want the church to come together, but you'll find seldom few that will actually join hands and press on past it because it feels too hard. But God is just looking for somebody to start a chain reaction, to start something that'll stir the hearts of the people of God. Oh, it's of the utmost importance that we understand this. And I've been preaching it, but let me tell you, I can't get it out of my spirit. You do not know what is ahead. Therefore, we cannot perceive to know that we are actually prepared for what's ahead. The only way that I can ever find that I'm prepared for tomorrow is when I'm humbled and my pride has been diminished and I put my wholehearted trust in the Most High God. And I say, in spite of it all, Lord God, I'm going to trust you. They may persecute me. Job said, though they slay me, oh, hallelujah, though they may put you down, may not get up when you get up. In spite of that, I'm going to praise him. The best way you can be prepared is to be in a place where you're free in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If you're not free, then you're sitting in chains. You're sitting in chains. And God don't want you bound up by what's going on. He wants you to react to it and let your faith come alive in your heart. Oh, the faith is words that you'll say that when I do not have my money, I believe the finance shall come. Faith says to sickness, I know I may be ill, but in the name of Jesus, I shall be well. That's saying over somebody bound by drugs that though you may be bound by God, you are made free. Oh, they were in a dark prison. There wasn't any light down there. They couldn't see a thing. And hallelujah, when you consider Jonah in the belly of the whale, he had to come to realize that he had to do work. He realized that it felt like hell. It sure didn't feel right. And if you're in the house of God and something don't feel right, it's time to shake off anything. I don't care if it's a distraction. I don't care if it's somebody said something to you 5 minutes before service. I don't care if you're just bored. But when we're not in a place where we're not free in Him, we are not using the full potential of what God has put inside. It's like a church that has no ability to call out on God to see deliverance. Have you been to one of those before? Have you been to one of those before? It's like going to a church and hearing people sing, but it just sounds like noise. You can't grab anything out of it because the heart is far from it, because we're not reacting the way God wants. We're singing in sorrow and not in faith. Hallelujah. You're singing in sorrow and not in faith. Faith will cause you to come alive. Hallelujah. Faith will cause you to rise up. Faith will cause you to believe that though it may be dark, that the light of day will break on through there. Some of us may be seeing a point of view right now that we absolutely cannot see what is ahead, and it is so dark and we cannot see the way. But this is your time to trust God and just give Him praise and just trust Him and be faithful and lay down your life on the line to know that God will bless you in spite of the darkness, in spite of the bondage. And then all of a sudden, when your faith comes alive, you'll feel an earthquake begin to shake up that bondage, and you'll see the walls begin to come down, and every captor will be captivated by the shaking up of your bondage in prison. In times when we begin to digress, you will feel attributes that are not of God. Step one may just be starting with a doubtful thought. Well, I don't know. It just don't seem like it's going to happen. Starts out with a doubtful thought. And as you continue to digress, your doubtful thoughts begin to build by frustration. Then you're frustrated. Well, I don't understand why it just hasn't come to pass. I'm doing everything that I can. And the more that we digress in this area, the more our mind is drawn away to other things that we see as a solution to help the problem. Sometimes that might be saying something we shouldn't have. Sometimes it'll be doing things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes it'll be totally turning away from what we know in God's Word. And the full digression of understanding where you are is not knowing where you're supposed to be. Confusion. Not knowing what to do. Not knowing what's going on. Not knowing the answers for your life. There's people out there right now that need the church to be more than confused. If we don't already know by now that our God delivers those in bondage, if we don't already know by now that He's one that heals, and if we don't truly believe it as we come into His presence, hallelujah, we're not doing God justice for what He's able to do. I know that it's hard in a service when it feels dry. I understand that. I'm not oblivious to the fact of when it feels dry in a service. But let me just open this up to you tonight. It does not have to stay dry. It does not have to continue in this manner. So what is it going to take to break through? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just takes rising up and giving God surrender and saying, Lord, I'm ready to serve You. I'm ready to do the things You called me to do. And it may make me look foolish, and everybody may laugh me to scorn, but I'm going to rise up and give You honor, for You are my God, and I'm believing in faith that You will move and take care of me. Is somebody give God praise in here for knowing that He'll take care of His children? Can somebody give God praise in here for His goodness? Can somebody give God praise just because He's God? Can somebody honor God tonight simply because that when tomorrow comes, that He will take care of you? One of my burning bush epiphany moments in my walk with God was when God began to lead me and teach me into the understanding that I never have to settle for feeling dry. Some people may settle, but I don't want you to settle. Any church I'm ever going to preach the rest of my life, I'm going to preach to them, don't you settle. Don't you settle if everybody else is sitting around you and being discouraged. Don't you settle if it feels dry to you. There's more to it than that. You do not have to sit under bondage. God made a way and access through Christ that we don't have to sit under something that will hold us captive. Well, we have a way of escape. Hallelujah. In spite of everything, I want you to know that ministry is hard because you're not preaching to those things that are spiritual. But preaching is hard because you have to do the work and put in the time to break the ground so that it does not feel like that your service is in bondage. I want you to know tonight, I've got out my shovel and I'm digging down in there. And for whomever this word is for right now, I want you to know that God is an encourager and He is a present help in a time of trouble. And He sees your children and He sees your loved ones. And He's God in the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's a prophetic
word in the driest of times. He is a resurrection where it seems like there's no hope. And he is a loving, loving Father. You see, I don't know what else to do but just to keep going. It's really easy when you've been through some stuff to know that there's nothing to go back to. Lord, that dry service that one night that I just didn't obey God and just felt so dreary. Man alive, I got nothing to go back to. What joy would I find going back to a place where I was unsettled in my spirit? What pleasure will I find sitting in my sorrow and not dwelling in the joy of the Lord? I want you to know tonight that there is more. There is more. That's a hard word, but it's the one of the hour. There is more, and there can be more. There's so much more to this than what we allow. I encourage you just to tell you that there's more, and that as you continue in your work and call with God, that there will come an opportunity for you. Your opportunity to shine is not going to be when you're feeling great, but it's in times when it feels hard, or when you're hurting, or when somebody hurts you, or when you're down and depressed. It's in times when what feels like everything is spinning around you and that you're just dizzy from the cares of life that God gives you an opportunity just to close your eyes and say, God, I believe that you will take care of me. In the midst of the hardest of times in your life will be your greatest opportunity. While I'm waiting for somebody to ask me to sing, it may be your greatest blessing that you just open up in song in the hardest time that it would be to sing. I can't always say that when I preached here that it's been easy. I can't always say that when I got up that I knew I was going to get just the full support for the minister. I didn't always have everybody getting my back, but nonetheless I preached on. Why? Because I knew that if I was faithful, what God has placed in me, that somebody would get their faith encouraged by the leading, by how you live, what you do. How can anybody ever be drawn by anything lest you do the works and callings of God? You know it in your heart that you have something to do. Somebody else doesn't know how wonderful that is in you until by faith that comes out of you. Hallelujah. The perfect example is knowing somebody's going through a hard time. All of a sudden you turn over and see them rise up and they're praising God, and you think, well, my week's not as been as bad as theirs, but yet they're praising God, and that faith that they have begins to stir you. That song that they sing begins to bring life to you. The preachers out there right now trying their best to keep their churches on fire. The people, the keepers of that prison, were not drawn simply just by the earthquake, or they would have had the ability to count it as coincidence. But before the earthquake came, there was a moment in the midnight hour when you would feel like that nobody hears you, that they dug down in the depths of their self. Mind you, they had already been beaten up and persecuted. 9 times out of 10, we would just settle for being beat up and settle for being hurt. But then all of a sudden, something that totally went against the hurt came out of them. Something come alive, Sister Doris. And I don't want you to ever think that a time that you're singing in the darkness, that it's in vain. Not a time that you offer yourself in praise to God, when you're putting your faith in it, is it ever in vain? There may be people that don't get in with you, but don't you worry about that. There may be people that come against you, but don't you worry about that. For when the ground begins to shake around you and you have your breakthrough, people will be drawn not only by what you did in faith, but they'll be drawn by the signs that follow your life. So if you're a singer, sing on and just see how God's anointing will open up in the midnight hour for you. Hallelujah. I'm preaching.
preaching right now for my life, because I know that the ground's going to begin to shake, and I know that greater things, man, I just have to smile about that, that greater things are around the bend, and tonight I'm just going to sing and give God praise, because I know that though it's dark out there, and though it's not easy anymore to worship, that the ground will break every bondage, and those that need drawn will be drawn by God. So much of people settling for their lifestyle over a godly lifestyle, that preaching is being limited to just love. Songs that aren't moving you by the beat, or vague enough to keep you not being convicted, are being invited into our churches because we refuse to be drawn and convicted by anything that would pull us away from our nature. And it does not matter what denomination you refer to, there are churches of God that are in peril just as much as you would go anywhere. Man, I don't know how hard that it feels sometimes. When you're about to open up and say that first word of a testimony, taking that first step to the altar, sitting down and knowing that your time's going to come when the Lord is going to use you. But I want you to know that everything that you're about to step out and do will not be easy. But you know, when you do it, it's your way to victory. It's your way out. It's your way through. It's your way to winning. If you sit around and pity party all the time, I can guarantee that you will not jump into the troubled pool and be dancing on top of the water. Because our pride becomes defensive as we digress and we begin to say, well, you just don't understand what I've been through. Therefore, by that statement, refusing help or a way of escape. I've been there. I'm coming right there with you. I've been there. You just don't understand how hard it is to go through what I feel right now. But there's still an opportunity to sing, to praise. There's still an opportunity to offer yourself to God. There's so many people that aren't here anymore. And as I begin to think about the things that stand out the most to me, it's not how much money that they earned, and it's not what they drove around, and it's not the hobbies that they had, nor was it even their class or where they were born or even any history. But it was in times when they were going through hard times that they were able to stand up and still say, I thank God that He saved me, and I thank God that He's my help. Oh, and I thank God that He's my strength. Hallelujah. And I hope that 20 years down the road, if we're still in this walk of life, that you know that by how you remember me is by how that I just stood and was faithful to God. That's the way that we need to lead by example. I wish more than anything sometimes that I could just take my seat and just drift on through life and not have to go through the humps and bumps of the road. But I want you to know that if I didn't get up here and offer myself, I would not know what it feels like to have the joy of the Lord in such a way that I do not care what anybody would say. I do not care how they would come against me, because they cannot take what God has ingrained deep down in your spirit. You can't take it. People look at you sometimes like you're a fool. They'll talk so bad about you after you preach that night. If you would have heard it, you would have been ready to take your own life. Talk you to scorn, because they are defensive over what you begin to preach. And God taught me a long time ago that people aren't coming against you, Brother Jared. They're coming against that part that pricks their spirit when it's time to change something. It's the part of you that comes against the Word of God that you need to put under subjection as given by the Holy Ghost. And then you'd be ready to obey God. Man, I feel quickened. So, man, we don't even stay in long enough sometimes to ever feel the second wind. I was running the other day, and I'd made it to 2 miles. And I thought, man, I'm doing good. Be a good time to stop. Be a good time to slow it down. And I don't know if you ever get on treadmills, but I had it cranked up to about 8.0. I think that may be miles per hour. I'm not sure. I was getting it. And all of a sudden, I started getting tired. And I was like, you know, it'd be really easy just to go ahead and turn this thing down. And I can just go over and just curl a little bit. That'll feel better. Then all of a sudden, it felt as if I had just started over. I hadn't felt a second wind in a long time. And I forgot what it felt like as you persevere to allow the refreshing of the Spirit of God to help you. Man, you'll never get a second wind unless you're tired from making an effort. Second winds only come to somebody that's going to invest the time to give God what is due to God. How? What are those things? That's prayer during the week. That's prayer during church. That's sincere worship. That's getting yourself out of the way. That's reading the Word of God. That's attending church faithfully. That's tithing faithfully. That's coming into His presence, being able to help one another. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. That's dwelling in the almighty love of God. Hallelujah. There's so many things that if you just begin to identify, God would show you immediately what you need to do to remedy that. And the best way that I can tell you when you can begin to recognize a digression is when your love is not freely given. The biggest attribute that Christ walked with as man, in spite of the emotions that he had to suppress, was only able to be done by the love of God. It was the same love in David that caused the people that fought the battle to have to divide the spoil with those that didn't make it past the brook. It's the same love of God that in spite of everything that they had already done to him, and him knowing that everyone that was probably around him had persecuted him to death, but Christ nonetheless said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I hear those words sometimes when I pray to God to help me to be stronger from temptations. I know, God, I'm forgiven. I want you to know that if anybody ever understood what it felt like to walk in a dark place, I've been there. And I want you to know that it's just temporary, just a season. But if you sit down in it, guys, and if you just sit in bondage, there is no present hope. You will not feel like you're coming through. You will speak doubt openly. Can preachers speak doubt openly? You bet they can. They get so caught up in wanting people to clap for them and jump for them and shout for them that if they don't get that, they're not coming back to preach for you again. Jonah wasn't going to an on-fire revival that Christians were all going to be at. Jonah had to go do a work to a people that he already knew ahead of time was not going to receive it. What is the mystery in that? That nonetheless that he had to persevere. It was one of the first mysteries that you read in the Word of God past Moses and Joshua, that they had to realize that you had to turn back to obedience in order to get out of what it is that you're going through right then. So you may be sitting in darkness or you may not see the way right now, but you've got to keep moving forward and allow the light of God to bring clarity to what hinders you. How do I do that? The only way is through prayer. The Word of God won't even make sense to you unless you pray for understanding. I remember when I first got saved, I got my Bible with my name on it. I was like, man, I'm excited. I'm going to get in there and start reading. And of all books I decided to read first, I picked Proverbs. Man alive, without any understanding to that and trying to read that at just face value, I was in trouble. And I didn't feel like I got any direction out of it. But as I have matured in God and understanding a little more of what He wants out of me, when I read it now, I pray that, God, You help me to understand this and help me to know what it means in my life. Hallelujah. So when I read the phrase, a brother is harder to be won with a fence than a strong city, it helps me to realize the amount of bondage that we have to face in this present life. You know, if it was easy to preach, everybody would be a preacher. Woo! Man, if they were sowing into ministries like they used to, everybody would be on the evangelizing trail.
They'd all have books and CDs and tapes and be out there doing it. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard. It's difficult. There used to be singers, man, if you just said the word singer, it would be as if almost they would just appear out of nowhere. And you'd have people come to singings, 4 and 5 groups at a time, everybody inspired to sing. But hallelujah, bondage got harder, singers got fewer. Bondage got harder, preachers got fewer. People that begin to resist a prophetic word, prophets begin to live in fear. Come on now. Come on now, that's as real as we can get it tonight. Oh my, thank God. Then I realize and understand this, that if I just press on, the Word of God says it like this, to hold on to the plow and look not back. Plain speaking, that is continue on and not turn back to your prior nature. Man, my prior nature would have never preached. Never. I wouldn't even get past the second row of a church. Even when I was right. Even when everything was good. I wouldn't have ever preached. I remember when they were trying to get me to first start singing. I would have never began to sing. I would have never done any of that because my personality was settling for what I was and not what God had intended me to be. And as the Spirit began to deal with me, I found myself moving up a row at a time. You know, and I finally get in a place where I'd start exhorting a little bit. Then you found that, man, there's some joy in that. Then you begin to open up your mouth a little more and just start trying to preach the things that God gave you. First sermon I ever preached was only about 5 minutes at the House of Prayer and Praise. It was so quick that if you blinked, you would have missed it. But man, I felt such a victory at the time. And I remember it was as if I began to pass my grades in school, and I remember I graduated college, and I know how God helped me there. It wasn't because I hit the books even harder, but it was because I was being obedient to His will. And I began to be bold enough to get up there and start singing on my own. And I remember hunting for my first job, and I looked everywhere. And God all of a sudden laid it on my dad's heart to come bring me a newspaper of all things. I applied less than a week. They gave me a call. And I know that God blessed me with that. Not because of how hard that I worked in college. And not how hard that I began to work on computers. Had nothing to do with that. But as I began to preach more and begin to sing more. And just stop caring about all the people that would come against me. And just to begin to lead by example. People began to be drawn by the ministry that God had set. Hallelujah. And when I got to a point at my first job that I was getting weary of the way that I was being treated, I realized that there was more for me to do. And God professed to me through prophecy that there was more that had to go out of my life. So there were things that I didn't get to go do anymore that I used to. There was mannerisms that I had to let go of. There was things that I used to love and enjoy that had to begin to flee out of my life. But I want you to know, no sooner than I abided in the prophetic word that was given to me, that God gave me a job that nearly doubled my income, that God began to bless my ministry and gave me favor in this place. God began to send people in when I would pray. God sent them in. God began to put income into our building again. Every time that I'd nail a nail over there, I realized that if I just keep pressing on, that maybe somebody will get behind me and give me a push so that I'm able to go on. And as we continue forward in our ministry, it's not always going to be easy, and you may not ever see the blessing, but if you just give it to God and you just obey Him irregardless, you'll begin to understand and know what it is to reap the blessings that you sow. Some of us are ready for the next chapter of life, either on our way to marriage or just married or married and ready to move on in the next part. And sometimes we really can't see when that next door is going to be opened. And I'm preaching to you out of experience right here and now. The only way that I ever got to the next step in life is when I fully listened. Fully. Every warning, every encouraging word, every part in the Bible that I used to set aside because it was too hard,
You know how hard it is to keep your conversation yay, yay, and nay, nay when you're first starting out trying to do that? You know how hard it is to not speak your opinion when you want to say something to somebody that downs them? You know how hard it is to begin to suppress and to let God have your frustration? When you're first starting out of the gate with that, you'll run out hard and fall flat on your face, because the first sign of hurt and danger, the only thing we know to do is just call the situation out and complain. But my advice to you, if you're on your way to that next part of life, that you just press on, that you just obey God to the fullest. You may hear a warning. You may hear hard preaching. But the Word of God only comes alive for you when you're not just a hearer of it anymore. People that come to church and just hear preaching never change their life. People that come and just listen to it never go any further. But don't follow the example of those who will not choose to enrich their life through obedience. That is not the way of God. Man, if I would have just looked around at what other people were looking at and didn't keep a vision in my spirit of something that I knew was coming, I would still be back there at the first job, groveling and complaining. And I would be so frustrated over everything I was going through. I would have never learned what it felt like to be a good husband. I would have never known what it felt like to be a real family person. I would have never known what it felt like to feel the pleasure of having somebody delivered by the Spirit. I would have never have gotten to the next part if I hadn't suffered a little while when it was difficult. Some of us are late waiting for the next door to be opened. And just as a word that God has sent, because I didn't come with this, God sent this to you. Press on. And if you don't see it, just obey God. And when it is time, you'll feel the ground begin to shake around your life. And things that have been the same old way, my, will change. People may persecute you now. They may make fun of you at school. They may give you a hard time. But if you just obey God sincerely in prayer and in your life, you will see the light of God and not dwell in darkness. Doors will be opened for people that will be devout. Doors are opening for those that, even though you don't feel like it, even for me tonight, even if you have to come late because of circumstance, just come on anyway. Just press on anyway. You may be out of key and your throat may be sore, but sing on anyway. You may not feel like getting over there and hammering and nailing that day. Get up and go on anyway. For it's in those times when it's most difficult that God gives you an opportunity to see where your faith really is. I can't always say that I've had my faith in fullness in times I was suffering the most. I can't say that. I can't promise you that every time I've been through something that I handled it the right way, that I made the right decisions, and every time I made a rough choice, my faith was not in what God was wanting me to do. The blessings were there right in front of me. Yet in spite of how I felt, it hindered me from getting rid of my bondage. So understand this tonight. I love you and I encourage you. Press on. Continue. Don't give up. And allow God's Spirit to